GoDaddy.com. Use the code POD139, that's POD139, for 10% off GoDaddy hosting. GoDaddy.com. Tango Tango Papa 1132, August 9, 2009.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Maybe the product of a tortured brain. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you this evening from Mount Vernon, Illinois. Mount Vernon is along Interstate, I think it's 57, and I think it's still kind of in the southern part of Illinois. I think I'm going to have to unplug this computer, maybe from the, I don't know, let me turn the brightness down on the screen and see if that helps. See, I'm running the computer, I've got a DC to AC inverter that's plugged into the 12-volt socket here in the truck, and whenever the voltage... Of course, I have the computer plugged into it, and the computer is kind of on the border of drawing too much power from this inverter. And the problem is that the inverter, before the inverter automatically kicks off because there's too much power, it'll shut itself off if the power draw is too great. But before that, it goes into an alarm mode, and so the power draw from the computer will fluctuate based on how hard the processor is working, or how, you know, the plus the screen brightness, plus the whenever the hard drive is accessed. And so what happens periodically, you'll hear it beep beep beep, but it's mainly caused by the hard drive being accessed. Now, it hasn't been that long since my truck motor shut off, so the batteries should be, the truck batteries should have plenty of charge. So what may be happening, I think I'm probably, several times in the past, they've replaced one or more batteries, because the batteries over time will start developing a bad cell here and there, and so I may be developing a weak cell in one of the batteries. Now, in this truck and most trucks, they actually use 6-volt batteries. They have 4 of them, and they're set up in such a way that it gives the starter 24 volts. 24 volts goes to the starter motor to actually start the diesel engine, because a diesel engine is a heavy duty thing, and it requires a lot of cranking power. So they have that set up for 24 volts, but then of course everything else runs on 12 volt power, just regular 12 volt automotive power. And but if one of those cells is a little bit low, then what ends up happening, I've noticed in the past, and it's happening again, is that this computer seems to just be on the border of taking too much power. But it's not making the inverter shut off. You know, it's not making it complete, you know, shut down, because the power draw is too great. But it makes it go into this alarm mode, and it's periodically the computer accesses the hard drive, it's going into an alarm mode. Now you can hear the truck just started up, and so as long as the alternator's running, charging the battery system, then there's enough power to kind of keep everything going. So I don't know, but it's kind of an ongoing problem, and as I say, you know, they've replaced some of the batteries in the past, and you know, they, whenever the truck goes in for service, they check, you know, they're supposed to check the batteries, the condition of the batteries, and if they find a bad battery or two, they usually they'll, depending on how thorough the person doing the work is, they may replace one or two batteries. So you know, but it's kind of an ongoing issue. And if it gets to be too annoying, then I'll just unplug the power and from the computer, and then the computer will run on the battery. It'll run on its battery. I'd rather not do that, because then when I plug it back in, then it, you know, it forces this inverter to go into a continuous alarm mode until the battery is recharged. You know, and now sometimes I can get away with just turning down the brightness, like I did right now. I turned down the brightness on the screen so that it's just one step away from turning the screen off on my computer here, and so that helps. But it's just kind of an you know, as I say, it's an ongoing problem. So anyway, I had recorded several files with my, you know, I got this Zoom H2 digital recorder, and I recorded some files earlier while I was driving, and that was going to be the podcast. But then I found out that you know, I guess I bumped the, you know, there's this one, there's a switch on the side, one of the switches on the side of the Zoom H2 is a three position recording level switch, and apparently that switch had gotten bumped, and it was in the maximum position, and it was actually causing the recordings, or you know, the recordings that I made, if I got a little bit too loud, it was causing it to overdrive, and it actually caused some clipping in the files. And of course, digital clipping is not very pleasant to listen to. So, you know, I'm just going to have to toss those files. And so I decided I'd just go ahead and record a podcast. So anyway, I, you know, in the regular way. So anyway, I spent, you know, I made it, you know, see, I started out, I guess I was at that truck stop up there in just outside of Cincinnati, Ohio. It was actually in Indiana. I made it, after I left there, I left there about 2 o'clock in the morning, and then I made it to a truck stop, I guess about around exit 128 on Interstate 40 there in Tennessee. That's where I stopped at, and then I slept what would have been Saturday, you know, during the day, in the morning into the afternoon, slept there, woke up about, I guess it was about 3:30 in the afternoon yesterday was Saturday, and then I, you know, in the meantime, they had sent a load about noon that picked up at Rossville, Tennessee, that was delivering to Wilmington, Illinois. They'd sent this load about noon, the load offer, but I, you know, it was about 2:30 or so whenever I, you know, I kind of woke up and saw it, and so I answered it right I answered it. But then it came back saying unable to commit. So apparently it had gone, you know, they offer that out sometimes to multiple trucks at the same time. And I didn't respond to it soon enough. So then I think about 6 o'clock or so, they offered another load that picked up at Rossville that delivers to Wilmington, Illinois, later in the day on Monday, at 3 p.m. on Monday. And so, you know, I caught that one right away, and, you know, within a couple of minutes of them sending it, I was able to answer it, you know, respond to the load offer, accepting it, and so was able to, you know, they gave me that load, and so it as I say, it picked up at Rossville, Tennessee, drop and hook, and then it delivers Monday afternoon. It's got a 3 p.m. delivery appointment time up in Wilmington, Illinois. And so I was, I guess I left the truck stop there where I was parked at exit 128 on I-40 in Tennessee. Left there about 7:15 p.m., went on over, I had to go over to Memphis and get the trailer washed out, fill the truck, or the trailer up with fuel, and then went back, you know, went over there to Rossville to, and then did the drop and hook. And then I, you know, drove, essentially drove, you know, I stopped in West Memphis and filled the truck up with fuel. And then I drove up here, you know, I stopped here at, decided I'd stop here at, there's a TA truck stop here at Mount Vernon, Illinois. And that leaves me about, I'd say about 240 more miles to drive to Wilmington, Illinois, and I'll do that later today. I'll sleep and then probably wait, you know, I'm assuming I'm probably going to wake up by about maybe 3 o'clock, 3:30 this later this afternoon, and then I'll drive on up to Wilmington, Illinois, probably get there sometime in the middle of the night, and then should be able to sleep a good chunk of the day away while I'm waiting for my appointment. Depending on how busy they are, they may take it a little bit earlier than 3 p.m. It's hard to say how busy they're going to be, so I'm assuming they're probably going to be busy. So I should be able to sleep there once I, you know, tomorrow being Monday, should be able to sleep, you know, kind of, I'm sleeping kind of in the daytime now, so. So anyway, you know, in the last podcast, I played that clip of the Dallas, Texas AARP meeting, and, you know, I thought about that some more, and, you know, I really never had realized it, but AARP tends to be sort of an organization that sort of relies on agitating its members. You know, it's kind of agitating them, making them kind of feel, you know, agitating their existing resentment, and kind of create, you know, kind of creating this sort of senior, angry senior citizen identity. And now many organizations can end up falling into that trap. It's not just AARP. There are many different types of organizations can end up falling into that kind of a trap, like the NAACP, you know, is one of those organizations that has ended up falling into that trap. you know, kind of agitating, you know, using its, you know, organization to sort of keep its members agitated, to kind of create this create a resentment-based identity. Unions can end up doing the same thing. They can often end up sort of agitating, you know, because people oftentimes they'll have, you know, they're mad because they have to work or something like that, or they're unhappy. Maybe they have some legitimate complaints about what's going on in the workplace, but the unions, you know, they have these union agitators, basically, or organizers. Anytime you hear that word, like, you know, a union organizer or an AARP organizer, you can probably substitute the word agitator, and it probably fits. But you have a union organizer or union agitator comes along and just kind of agitates and stirs up everybody and gets the resentment juices going again, and then it kind of keeps the resentment-based workplace externalized identity going, you know, and that's in the case of unions. But there are all kinds of different cases where people end up getting stirred up, riled up, and you have this identity, you know, this externally based resentment. It's kind of an externalized resentment-based identity that gets formed. And, you know, it can form around communities of people, ethnicities. The black community has really fallen prey to it. Italian-American communities fallen prey to it. I mean, there's been any number of communities of people that have fallen prey to it, and it doesn't necessarily have to revolve around race or ethnicity. It can revolve around anything. If people feel that they have a common, a common grievance or a common resentment, a group of people, then they can end up with an externalized kind of resentment-based identity. But it requires an agitator. And so in this audio that I played yesterday, the woman, you know, this female organizer from AARP completely got frustrated because the people attending the meeting, all of the older people that were attending this meeting, she was just basically there to kind of agitate them, you know, keep them upset, and, you know, and kind of feed them the line, and, you know, and of course you heard her say, well, AARP doesn't endorse any bill in Congress, blah blah blah, but yet they did, and she didn't want to hear. She said, even though we're here to listen to you, she really didn't want to hear what they had to say, and so she got frustrated because she was trying to agitate. And the woman may not even know it herself, but she was trying to agitate. She may not realize that, but she was there to agitate their existing resentment, and it was a remarkable thing that happened because the people recognized what she was doing, and you know, even though they couldn't put it into words like I'm putting it into words right now, they could kind of tell that she was sort of pushing an identity off on them, and they had no part of it. And they basically, when she was giving her talking points, they were, you know, they were calling it, and they were saying, we don't believe you. You know, we don't believe you. And she, partway through the meeting, the woman got frustrated and said, I've had it. I'm leaving. And then a very remarkable thing happened. All those people were able to continue, you know, they all stayed there, and they continued to talk, and then it became a real meeting. You know, and I don't know I don't think the people really, they weren't getting mad at each other or calling each other names, but they were all kind of talking, and they were able to kind of iron out their differences, and it actually ended up being a very productive meeting. You know, from a standpoint of these people were able to actually communicate with each other. But, you know, up until this point, I really hadn't realized that what AARP was. You know, I knew that they were kind of pushing a leftist, you know, kind of a... And I say leftist, I need to get away from this left-right, you know, kind of thinking of the world in terms of left and right and, you know, the labels. I really need to get away from that. But, you know, so, you know, revising the language, the AARP has always kind of pushed a big government, you know, kind of big government, big controlling government ideology, you know, and they're, you know, and as a carrot for people to join, you know, if you're age 50 or whatever, they'll let you join, I think 50 or, you know, something like that, and they'll let you join, and as a carrot to get you to do that, they've got discounts. You know, you can get discount insurance for this or discount for that or whatever, and a lot of people will join that because they think, oh, it's, you know, this is a perk for joining, and then plus I get this free little thing that comes in the mail, you know, every month you get the AARP bulletin. But you know, and then they're there on my behalf to lobby Congress and lobby lawmakers, blah blah blah. Well, you know, but the proof is in the pudding. You know, they're trying to agitate people, the members. They're trying to agitate them to kind of have this angry senior identity, sort of an externalized identity. And if you've got an externalized identity, you're, you know, based on resentment, doesn't matter whether you're old, you're mad because you're old, or you're mad because you have to work, or you're mad because you're black, or you're mad because you're Asian, or you're mad because you're whatever, doesn't matter. As long as you resent, and you've got to resent as sort of an externalized identity, then you're a slave. You become a slave. You know, it's helpful to understand what resentment is. I can't tell you exactly, I can't directly tell you what it is. It's one of those things that you have to be able to recognize what it is for yourself. The best description I can come up with for what resentment is, you know, it's like you've, in your own mind, it's like you're hurling a metal thunderbolt and that your thoughts could just strike someone dead. It's a, you know, the biblical language, it's kind of a puffing up, the ego sort of puffs up, the kind of the wrong side of the ego sort of puffs up in judgment. Resentment is judgment. And if you, you know, you do that, you're kind of separating from God to become your own God. And, resentment is a sin. Resentment is judgment. Resentment is a sin. And when you do that, you separate from the real God in order to become your own God. Now, how do you communicate with the real God? You know, you may not realize it, but we all have the potential. It's called common sense. We all have the potential to get our identity directly from God. You know, it's God-given identity. We all have that potential, but where we screw up, of course, you know, and of course we're born in sin and so on and so forth, so we're going to do it. We resent, And then we end up separating, you know, because we resent, and then we, you know, we end up separating ourselves from our conscience, because that's how we, you know, that's conscience is how God communicates with us. And so we end up separating from our conscience, because then all of a sudden, you know, we, you know, the instant that we do, you know, that we resent, the instant we sin, we're guilty, got a guilty conscience. So then we try to separate ourselves from it, distract ourselves from it, and we end up running into the arms of the group of people that will accept us, and thus sort of an externalized groupthink is born. And that's why that's where the origination of groupthink comes from. You know, you can have black groupthink, you know, black culture, you know, union groupthink, you know, so on and so forth. You can have all kinds of different groupthink. Just, you know, it's just unlimited. You know, you could have Chinese groupthink, Russian groupthink, Australian groupthink, American groupthink. The list goes on and on and on. And ultimately, that groupthink evolves into language. You know, and that's basically the origination of different languages is this groupthink idea. So, you know, and it's based around, you know, people playing God and resentment. You know, it turns that, you know, that really is the Tower of Babel. So, in any case, what this AARP woman, you know, this organizer, she was frustrated because she, you know, she's probably used to being able to kind of rely on the fact that these people already have resentment, and they're there to kind of go there to sort of get that resentment stirred up again, and then they've got their identity, and then, you know, and then the whole thing kind of keeps perpetuating itself. And you know, so it's a very interesting thing that happened there, because she found out that you know, in this case, you know, because these people came and they were all kind of stirred up already, you know, and against the Obama health, you know, this Democrat pushed health care, you know, this bill that's going through the House, they were already kind of stirred up against it, and they kind of liked the existing health coverage they already have, and they didn't want any part of this change. You know, this woman was saying, well, I think we can all agree that the current system is broken and we need legislation to fix it. And you know, they say, oh no, we don't. So but it's quite interesting what has happened. Now, the other thing that's, and I'm sure that you know, it's been making the news. Now, I don't know if it's been making television news. I can't see how it couldn't have. But this thing, you know, the White House, you know, on the White House website, they actually posted this thing saying, if, you know, if you find fishy, you know, if you, let's say you get fishy emails from friends or family, or you're just getting fishy information about if you think it's misinformation about, you know, the Obama health care, you know, if someone's giving you some, what you think is fishy information, then we want you to, and if it's friend or family, we want you to email us at flag@whitehouse.gov, and that's right on the White House website. So, in other words, they want people to snitch on friends and family if they think that, they're getting some fishy information either through email or if they overhear a conversation, or if a friend or family basically criticizes the Obama health health, you know, this healthcare thing that's going through the Congress, the Obamacare, then they want you to email the White House at flag at whitehouse.gov. Now, that's a pretty incredible thing, because that's designed to, it's a snitch. They're building a database. What are they going to do with the database? It sounds like a Nixon-style enemies list. And it's also there to intimidate people, to make people shut up. Maybe people are afraid of the president, or they're afraid of what the White House might do with the information. Come after people for daring to criticize the God's healthcare plan, Lord Obama. And so I find that just absolutely outrageous. But, so it kind of remains to be seen, how many people in this country are willing to sort of bend the knees of their mind and lick the boots of tyrants. We've basically elected communists to run the government. We've got a communist president. We've got a communist leaders in the House and the Senate. And we basically have, at this point, we basically have a communist dictatorship. Now, I know that riles some people up. They don't want to hear that. But it's absolutely true. I see it. I absolutely do see it. And furthermore, I've been saying for a number of months now that we're headed for a bloodbath at some point. Now, I hope to God I'm wrong. I really do hope I'm wrong. I don't think I am, but I really do hope that I end up being proved wrong. But it's at this point, you got the sort of the Obama style, Chicago thug politics. And the reason that works, by the way, in Chicago is because you've got some large ethnic groups. The Italians make up a big they're an ethnic, large ethnic group, and it's a resentment based ethnic group in Chicago, and they've got a tradition of being connected with the mafia and so on and so forth. And Chicago certainly does have that reputation for kind of being infested with the mafia, or so-called mob. You got a large black population there that is basically it's a black kind of a ghetto type population that, again, it's based around resentment, sort of an externalized resentment-based population. And so that type of population is ripe for the Saul Alinsky-style politics that Obama practices. I've got two books at home. I've got, there's a book called Rules for Radicals, and then there's this other one called Reveille for Radicals, and they're both Saul Alinsky books. And the Rules for Radicals, Saul Alinsky, in a sort of a soulless manner, describes exactly, step by step how you agitate existing resentment in a community, and then you're able to, agitate, and then harness, you know, kind of take over those people. Because, you know, if someone is able to come along and agitate your existing resentment, then they become the greatest power, and you become their slave. You become their clone. Now, of course, you don't realize that you are. You think that you're doing it of your own free will, but you're not. It's a lie. All who sin are slaves. Spelled right out in the Bible. All who sin are slaves. Resentment being the sin. And so you'll respond to whatever the greatest pressure is. And so that works in Chicago. That's why that, you know, you've had these really screwy, crooked politics in Chicago for all these years, is because you've had these large groups of people, black people, black population, Italian population, and maybe some others, that are based around resentment, and then they can kind of be pitted against each other, but they're enslaved, you know, because you gin up the resentment, and then it's possible to enslave people and kind of take them over and direct them. Now, it remains to be seen whether that can be done effectively on a national scale. I don't think that it can, but, you know, I don't think you can, maybe you can't take the Chicago, what works wonderfully in Chicago, may not work so well nationally, because there's a lot of people that, you know, this ain't Chicago. You know, the whole country isn't Chicago. Only, you know, Chicago itself is, but the entire country isn't. And, but I think we're probably headed for some bloodshed. But in any case, you know, if you, you know, here's an interesting, you know, because you may think I'm talking in circles. You may think, what's he talking about? I can't even understand what he's saying. So it might be helpful to think of this in different terms. You know, if you're familiar with how electricity works, you know, and I don't know if in school if you ever had to, you know, you take the battery and some wire and a nail and make a kind of an electromagnet. Well, imagine you know, the agitator, you know, is kind of like a magnet. Imagine you have this agitator, you know, or a community organizer. Imagine that's kind of a magnet, and you know, if you have resentment, you're going to respond to that magnet. You're going to respond to that agitation, whether you want to or not. And you can be in denial of the resentment, and you're still going to respond to it because you're a slave. All who sin are slaves. So if you know, the only way that you can maintain your identity, maintain the integrity of your identity, is to get rid of the resentment. You know, it's kind of like, you know, if you, to the degree you're able to get rid of your own resentment, you know, get rid of all of the resentment that you have, to that degree, you become immune to the agitation. You know, so people that, and don't get me wrong, you know, the agitators serve a very valuable function. Otherwise, they wouldn't exist. Otherwise, you know, God wouldn't basically allow them to exist. They serve an extremely valuable function, because how else would you be tested? How else would you be tested? You have to have the condition in order to be tested, and you know. So if you want to maintain the integrity of your identity, then you have to be willing to give up resentment. You know, kind of playing God in your own mind. And, you know, so it's, but if you think of it in terms of magnetism and, you know, attraction and that type of thing, then you can be, you know, maybe like an electromagnet, you know, kind of being switched on and off. Then you can begin to kind of understand how, you know, because how these principles work. Because there's some, there are some very good parallels, you know, between the physical world and how our minds work, you know, mentally, spiritually, etc. So, anyway, I'm kind of starting to get tired. Probably better cut this off, see if I can get headed towards bed. Hope everyone is having a great weekend, and I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.